that last step, I would never give it up to artificial intelligence. That is my gift. And let it be a lesson for those who, understandably so, are afraid of the technology taking over our jobs and all of that. There's space and place for each one. I think that when it comes to that, is just how we stay on top of the technology so that we use it to support our skills, right?
Are you ready to reclaim your life from exhaustion and expand the possibilities of what life can be? If so, I'm your guide, Evelyn Pacitti, work-life geek and engineer-turned-resiliency coach on a mission to redefine how we work, live, and utilize our energy. Each episode, I dig deep with my guests as they share their story, spark, and strategies for developing our own unique work-life blend. This is Engineering Serenity. Episode 13, Envisioning Life and AI with Maria Ines.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
Yay. I want the audience to get to know you a little better, so we'll start off with a few basic questions. What is your full name and pronouns?
So my official full name is Maria Ines Fuenmayor Castellano. But you can just call me Marines, and the pronouns are she, her.
Thank you. What is your age-ish?
Late 40s.
What industry slash career do you work in?
At the moment, I'm in the online business specializing on personal branding.
How many hours do you typically work per week?
Oh, good question. Officially, I would say around 20, sometimes can go up to, I don't know, 25, depends.
Do you like your career?
I love it.
What about it makes you love it?
I feel like at the moment I'm experiencing and doing what I see as the culmination of all the skills acquired, but also my innate gifts are like wrapped into what I do. And I just adore it. I don't feel like I'm working, as cliche as that sounds, but yeah. Oh,
the whole thing just gives me the tingles. I can feel it. On a scale of 1 to 5, how would you describe your work-life blend today? Where 1 is not very well balanced and 5 is, yeah, feeling really good.
I'm a glass half full, so I would say like 4. Like there's always room for improvement, but yeah.
Nice. Where do you live?
I live in a very small town in the Netherlands. So close, for those who know the Netherlands, close to Den Bosch is the closest big city around me.
Nice. What culture were you raised in?
I'm originally from Venezuela, so grew up in a Latin, country and culture.
Describe your household.
Mine or where I grew up?
Currently.
So it's my partner and I have a 3-year-old biracial, bicultural girl.
Do you have any hobbies?
Yeah, the thing is, photography has always been a hobby for me, but I've turned it into my work. It's still a hobby because the thing that I love about photography is to capture beauty, and I still do that. However, I, as a sort of something to rest my brain and my mind, I love doing things with my hands. I've been lately experimenting with doing jewelry with, what's it called? Today I'm receiving a wire, so I'm going to start doing crochet wire jewelry just for fun.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like, is it a weaving when you say it's crochet?
And like, we use the needle of crochet and you actually crochet jewelry. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, that's cool. As someone who crochets as well, I was like, that's what I hadn't heard of. So I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, so I love the idea of what crochet makes you just sewn out. And so I'm like, yeah, why not do something that I can actually wear?
Oh, yeah, that's cool. So tell me, what are you excited about right now?
So as unless you're living under a rock, you may have heard that there's a thing exploding out there called artificial intelligence. And I have historically been an early adopter of technology. One, out of necessity, and two, is just who I am, and I've loved it. So I was like the first one in my family to have a cell phone. It was not the brick, but it was a cell phone. Email, all that kind of thing. When I left Venezuela, we were still on letters and postcards. So yeah, technology has really helped me keep connected to my culture, to my family, and all of that. So it has a special place in my heart, but I've also seen and experienced how technology can help you not only better your life or make your life easier, but it has a lot of other impacts that we may not immediately think of. All that to say that since last year, again, I was one of the early adopters of this thing called ChatGPT and experimenting with what is this? And for those who may not know what I'm talking about, ChatGPT is essentially a type of, imagine Google, but it's more, you don't have to do all the research. Like when you type how to make I don't know, strawberry smoothie on Google, you have thousand million options. Whereas if you use this tool called ChatGPT, you can tell it, hey, I want a strawberry smoothie, but I have this intolerance, or I like this type of, I don't know, fruit, whatever. So it's you can very tailor it very much to your specific need, and it gives you a very straight answer. So it eliminates hours of research for certain things. So after that, I started, yeah, just playing around, finding more information about artificial intelligence. And I realized that there was a great opportunity to use the tools to help me help my clients. As I mentioned earlier, I do personal branding and I'm also a brand photographer. But historically, both of those things, even though they're crucial for if you're building your business, they have been historically a premium, not accessible for everybody aspect of growing your business. And in fact, something that I truly believe that is a pillar of building your business, such as brand strategy, has been left to become a nice to have thing instead of one of the first things that you should do when you decide to go into business. So when I realized how to combine AI to support me, to support my clients, I realized that I was actually democratizing the field of personal branding because I am now able to create both the strategy, but also the visual representation of brands in a much more accessible and affordable and actually more efficient way. So that has me really excited because it's something that I've worked on my entire life. My previous past life, I was a humanitarian worker. I worked with development organizations to do development work, access for all. Democratization, gender equality, all of those kind of topics are very dear and near to my heart. So being able to combine all of those things into what I do now, which is what I said at the beginning of the conversation, is I finally feel like all of me is encompassed in what I'm doing right now. So that's just like super exciting. Plus, on the creative side, it's just so fun to just think of abstract ideas and bring them into life in an image. It's just, oh, it's so exciting.
So you're talking about that you're using AI to build up brand strategies. Can you give some more concrete examples? So for people who, for example, work a 9 to 5 and are not used to talking about brand strategies, what does this look like for them? Or what is a concrete example of what are you actually creating with AI? And how are you using that to build?
Yeah. So one of the things that if you're not in, if you are still in a corporate job or a 9 to 5 job, one of the things that I teach my clients once they go into our side is that you yourself, and this is for everybody, you yourself are your brand. So because you may work on a 9 to 5, you may not think of that, but basically think of your personality. Your personality has traits, has you yourself have values. You have I would go as far as saying that you have a mission in life. You have a vision of your life, how you want to leave it, the legacy that you would love to leave behind for your kids, for the world. All of those little aspects of oneself are what I help my clients bring into a cohesive quote unquote package that we call personal brand. Because when you do decide to go into business for yourself, personal, your personality, your values, all of those things that are important to you are infused in your brand. Now, there's a debate that everybody in my field has whether or not you are your business, you are your brand. And I'm using air quotes here because to a certain extent, I do believe we are, because as I said, we are infusing your business with who you are. However, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to open up everything, like you have to share every single detail about your life. There are things that people don't care about. But what we try to look for is the commonalities that unite us in that specific area, whatever area you end up working in. There are commonalities that bring us together, that bind us as a community, as a group, as potential clients, as eventual clients, and all of that. All those exercises that I do with my clients are what eventually becomes that brand strategy. It's a very in-depth work that we do, because we tend to believe that what's important or what's useful are things that are tangible. For example, our degrees. A lot of times when I work with people who have recently come from 9 to 5, from corporate, they tend to tell me like, oh, these are my skills. And they tell me all the degrees they have, all the years of experience they've had. And they leave out their innate gifts, what I call the magnetic core. And what that is, nothing else than the essence of all the experiences of your life. As you said very rightly, like the fact that I grew up in Latin America has an imprint on who I am, how I run my business, what I think about, how I approach things. The experiences I may have had as a woman in Europe now, that also has an imprint. So everything around us and through our lives has had an imprint on who we are today. And yet there's something very innate in each one of us. There's a gift that even though we see it as, oh, but everybody can do this, that's where I help my clients pull that little thread and find what is that core. And what makes you different from, I don't know, say all the painters, all the jewelers, all the whatever it is, we all have that thing that's unique to us. And that's what I think is my gift, is helping my clients find that out and actually embody it and believe it. And then, so the way that I am using AI now is because my clients tend to be all over the world, they're not necessarily only in the Netherlands. One of the things that I found that was a struggle for both sides was we're physically not in the same room. I would have to travel there, or they would have to travel to me, to then, after creating the brand strategy, creating that the visual representation of their brand, which is the culmination of all that, is the brand photo shoot. As amazing clients as I had, I couldn't travel everywhere, especially in the last few years. We know the pandemic happened. Actually, my last photo shoot was literally in February and March of 2020, which I literally did my last shoot in the United States. And the last flight that came into Netherlands was mine. So,
wow.
Yeah, I was like, and I didn't know it at the time, but I was pregnant. So I was this close to not being able to get on the last flight to Europe, not knowing that I was pregnant. I would have had to spend my pregnancy away from my partner.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So all that to say is that now with AI, they can be anywhere. They can be, yeah. And we can do the brand photo shoot on virtually, essentially. So yeah, it's very exciting. And as I said, at a fraction of what it used to cost for both sides, because especially now that I'm a mom, time away from my child, it's time that I think about. It's not as before. Yeah. We just grab a weekend bag and just go. I forget about arranging care and all of that. It's just being away from them. It's as much as I love to travel, and I will continue to do. Yeah, it's precious time away from her.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm assuming all of the work that you're doing with the helping you find the magnetic course, which I love that terminology, that work is done one-on-one, You're not using AI for that, for example. That's really that personal connection and trust building. And then you said that you're nodding. So I think I'm on the right track for those who can't see.
Yeah, sorry.
So the next step is a virtual photo shoot. What does that look like? What does that even mean? Am I using my iPhone elsewhere? Huh? Yeah.
Just to caveat there, the reason why I'm not necessarily using AI for the brand strategy aspect per se is a choice, because as I said, one of my unique gifts is to help my clients find their magnetic core. And while, and I don't want to get too complicated in this, technically you could train what's now called a sort of like a customized bot. You could train them to do that sort of thing. That last step, I would never give it up to artificial intelligence. I'm sure there's people who might do it that way, but I feel like that is my gift. And this is be, let it be a lesson for those who, understandably so, are afraid of the technology taking over our jobs and all of that. There's space and place for each one. I think that the one of the things that we need to think, and when it comes to that, is just how we stay on top of the technology so that we use it to support our skills, right? So that aside, that was a very deliberate choice. And then to talk about the photo shoot. So what happens is, because we do the brand strategy, one of the steps, the last steps of the brand strategy, is to create what I call the creative story behind your brand, right? So for example, in my case, my brand is all about branding is a journey. So the essence of my brand is about elements such as like compass, travel, all of that kind of thing. That triggers a creative a concept for my brand. So images that relate to travel, to one, because I love it, but those kind of like ideas in my mind of like, what can I talk about today that relates to travel, to finding direction, to using compass to make sure that you are going in the right North Star, that kind of thing, that is then translated into imagery. So the offer that I have right now is called Envisioned, because that's what we do. We envision your brand visually. What I do is I have a strategic meeting with my client. We talk about their brand. This is either they already have had their brand strategy with somebody else and they have a document, which is their brand document, or they do it with me. So because we already have that, we already have that creative concept, and we talk about, okay, what are your goals for the next, say, 3 months? And we create a plan, be it a launch or be it, I don't know, for social media, be it for whatever the requirements are. And then I just go and create images based on the storyline that we agreed upon. And that can be anything. It can be, call it stock photography, in the sense that there's not necessarily faces on them. There's what you call the flat lay, which is the view from above. But I also create what I call virtual portraits, which is essentially I create an image of a person that looks very similar to my client. And then I do the magic and put their faces in the image. Now, this is, and this is very important to me because it goes into my ethics values. This is nothing to do with trying to deceive people into thinking like, oh, I don't know, if the image looks a little bit skinnier than they actually look. That is not to say that I'm trying, or my client is trying, to trick people into them looking something different that they aren't. It's just to create variety for your brand. It's just to create creativity, to have fun with your brand. One of the things that I struggled with the softwares that I used at the beginning was that they have been trained mostly in white male environments. And for example, there was an experiment done, and whenever you entered just the word doctor, it would show up white. I think it was also age, like probably an older man, white male. And that just to show that it was very biased. The software itself is very biased because of how it's been trained. So me as a Latin woman, I faced some struggles at the beginning because it was not easy to obtain a base image of a colored woman that didn't look like a supermodel, so a stick, that didn't look like perfect skin, like a more realistic picture of what a person would look like. It has gotten better, and I've also have gotten more experience into how to use it. But all this to say that it's just, yeah, it just fun way to just play around with your brand and be more creative. And essentially, the bottom line of all of this is that you're creating such unique imagery for your brand that you're attracting those people that you truly want for your business. And the reason that happens is because, for example, I have one client who is also a Latin woman, and she said, my community is so diverse, even if I could afford to have a photo shoot done, she also lives in the Netherlands, and she said, I live in a country predominantly white. It would be very difficult for me to actually create the true representation visually of what my community virtually looks like. So we created images that actually represent closer her actual following, her community. And she was just so excited about that because she felt like she finally could represent that. And so it's all those nuances that really has me excited about the potential of this work.
Wow. And it's fun. So are you also playing with the models in terms of teaching them to be more representative, to consider a full-bodied figure, to consider different ethnicities and showing that up? And I thought it was really interesting that you say you create a character similar to you and then you put in the face after. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting approach to it. And does that also feed into privacy concerns? I was like, if you create a similar figure and then at the last minute put in the face, that feels safer than just feeding the algorithm of you all the time, even though you're on the internet and that's a whole separate issue. But
yeah, no, that's everything that you said. I take great care and I would say pride into, because to me, my mission with this is that democratization of personal branding. That also means all of those things that you said. That also means more inclusivity. That also means more diversity in all aspects of it. In fact, the other day, somebody tagged me on Facebook on a post where a gay guy was asking how and where to find images that were not, he's also in the online world. And he was saying, well, there's beautiful stock imagery repositories out there, but they tend to lean towards a very specific type of person. They're very feminine, they're very delicate. And that is not necessarily what he's looking for. Like, he didn't feel represented. And so somebody tagged me there. And right now we're in talks about creating stock imagery, not stock, but because it's customized, but it is essentially creating your own stock library for his style, but also not only for his style, but also to represent who he's trying to target as in his business. Yeah, the potentials of not only having more accessibility in terms of the pricing of the offer, but also in seeing yourself represented out there in the shapes of our bodies, in the imperfections of our faces, in the everything. It's something that I take a lot of care about. And in terms of the privacy, now, AI is in its infancy. I don't claim to know everything. Everything is changing by the minute. I, of course, try to stay on top of it as much as I can. And I have put as many safe keeping things that I can to protect my clients, because I take that very seriously. Of course, when you do accept to work with me, you accept certain things, such as I need to put your image not out there because it's not out there, but I need to use your images to put it into somebody else's body. But I do it with the intake form that I send them is that you have to tell me like your average age as you do, your average weight, it's just to make sure that the representation is as close as possible. It's never going to be exact yet, but probably one day it will be. But I do try to care as close as possible that it is a representation of themselves so that when I send their images, they're not going to be shocked. That does not look like me. Even though it takes getting used to it. I'm still like, you know, still weird to see yourself because sometimes it is so, so, so close to you. You're like, I look at my phone sometimes and I forget. I have so many images now. I'm like, what's that? Did I take that or did I make it?
Because you also use yourself in these examples. You're building images of yourself in different scenarios.
Yeah, because, you know, I have to walk my talk. I want to make sure that my clients see I'm playing with it. I'm having fun with it. And it's okay sometimes if it doesn't look like me. Sometimes I just love an image so much because it actually represents what I'm trying to say that I don't care so much if it doesn't accurately represents me. I do, for the most part, as much as I remember to do it, I do say that it is an AI-generated image because, again, I'm not trying to trick anybody here. But it is, again, it is about the fun, the creativity, and also to show the possibilities to people. And I make fun of myself. I put myself, quote unquote, in like funny situations, weird situations, unusual situations, so that people just like, we don't need to take it as seriously as those like really expensive photo shoots, because we can have more images made out of us than we used to before. Like before, you're paying good money. And I'm not saying that the photo shoots are not realistically priced. In fact, I think that a real photo shoot is totally underpriced for what you actually had to do. But when you did that, you really needed to make sure that every single image was on point because you were paying good money plus the time that you invested in it. So,
yeah, I've seen some of the images that you've made where you've been more playful, playing with cyborg realities that are also organic. And yeah. They're so striking, yet it's you, even though you're playing in that space.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you've told me how you're using AI for brand, but where do you also see it coming into play and supporting us outside of what you do? I think one of the things you mentioned in the thing is that you see it as a tool for also supporting your well-being, which I thought was a really interesting comment that I'd love to get your perspective on.
This is going to be controversial, I'm sure, because, yeah, it's being talked about a lot in the online business, online world. It's the use of, again, ChatGPT or any AI programs for copywriting, for example. And one of the things that I can say about that is I am Venezuelan. English is not my native language. And I feel like it's funny because I cannot talk about what I do in Spanish. I just stumble, like the words don't come out. I can only talk about what I do in English in a more eloquent way. However, that's sort of like, I don't even know what word to use, but like that thing of being bilingual, I struggle, it could be a mindset block, but I don't think it's completely that. When I have to, back in school, for example, when I had to write a paper, I never really received good scores because in Spanish, you tend to write a one-page sentence long. Like, we don't know what do you call it? Grammatic, what do you call it?
Points. Punctuation?
Punctuation, thank you. We don't know what that is. We're just like, I think back then I used to write like that in English. So I used to ramble a lot. I used to just not get to the point. All this to say that one of the ways that I'm using AI is to help me precisely with those kinds of things. Like I literally, now there's a feature where you can literally just record your voice. And I use it to like ramble on and say, can you make sense of what I just rambled on about? And it actually gives you a very concise little paragraph of, oh, did you just say that you wanted a glass of water? Type thing. Yeah, but I was saying I have this feeling of thirst and yearning for something. Like, okay, you need a glass of water type thing. Now, joke aside, what I'm saying is I don't think, again, it may change tomorrow, but I don't think I would do away with my copywriter. She's an amazing person. She has a brain that thinks in ways that I just will never get to. But I do use it for the everyday things. And ironically, having that extra help has empowered me to speak more often, to speak up more, because it has helped me to be able to articulate the thoughts that I have. Sometimes, I don't know what you call it, but I call it the shower genius. When you're in the shower or when you're walking, you have those like moments of clarity and mystical, amazing thoughts. It is in those moments. I don't have a copywriter in my back pocket that I can say, hey, I just had this thought. Can you just write a post for me? So in those times, I really turn to AI and again, I just ramble on and it helps me to articulate the idea. That is one way that I feel like it has helped my life much easier. It has helped me in being able to articulate and to also share my thoughts. Truly, I have felt this lightness in me because I feel like I finally can share my thoughts, my gifts in a way that is resonating with people. And This is not to say that I copy and paste what spits out. This is, I think, where those people who are totally against it for copywriting, I'm like, I feel like you're giving too much power to AI if that's what you're doing. If you're just saying, write me a post for Facebook about this and that, and you copy and paste, of course, that's when it sounds robotic and when it sounds like, you know, the people are always making fun of, let's quantum leap into the next journey of, yeah, that was written by AI. But what I do is, okay, that's the eloquent idea that I want. Okay, now I'm going to write my post or my whatever it is. But to go back to your question, that is where I find that it has really helped me just have more time for myself. Because what it used to take me hours to sit in front of the Google Docs and try to write it without being 3 pages long, but also because I'm able to reduce the amount of time that now takes me to write a post. Another thing is, okay, now it seems like it's resonating more because I can more eloquently articulate my ideas and my thoughts and my shares. Then all of those things compound are reducing the time that I'm spending in my business. Because as you asked me before, before I was a mom, I used to work all hours because I didn't have the demands of a little human, right? But I look back and I'm like, what was I doing? And not to be harsh on my past self, because she did a lot of stuff that otherwise I wouldn't be here for. But I'm saying I am so much more efficient with my time now because I only have certain, like, she's coming, I have to go pick her up at school, I have to leave. So I know that I have certain limited time. So yeah, it really, I have no time to waste. So it's really helpful. And then the other aspect when it comes to the visual use of images is because, let's face it, we don't always feel our best. We can get sick, or we just are in our time of the month, or we're just like, the sky is gray and we just don't feel our best. Having a repository of already curated images for you makes your decision fatigue almost eliminates it, because all you have to do is go into your images, yours as in like your virtual portrait, but also branded images, and you just pick one and you just share it and you just say what you need to say. And then if you didn't feel well to show up for yourself that day for your business, you don't have to.
Yeah.
So that when it comes to business, the for people who are working their 9 to 5, I really truly find that it is a very good sounding board. And I'm not saying use this as therapy. You can ask everything and anything, questions that you never thought about asking anybody. You can just do your research, or I feel like it's just a very good, sounding board to let ideas out. Projects that you may have in your head, is that viable? Is somebody else doing something like that? Just all kinds of questions that you can ask yourself to just free that mental space for other things, such as just enjoying your nothing, your cup of coffee, without having all those things in your head. One day I will do this. One day, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it's like journaling.
Huh, interesting. You are also talking about how, yes, you're using the AI to summarize your thoughts, but you're also still working with a human copywriter as well through this process. So it's a very blended, much like you were describing the image creation, your writing creation and everything else is a very blended experience.
Yeah, because I think that is something that is very important that I always make a point of also sharing with my clients, is that ethically speaking, anything and everything will be as ethical as your own ethics. Like things as the internet. I think a lot of us still remember when internet, this thing called the internet came out. And there was all this like conspiracy theories and all this, this is the end of the world and da 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 da. And yes, internet has been used for not good things. But oh my God, has it done a lot for humanity as well? And I don't think, doesn't matter which camp you belong to, we cannot deny it, right? AI is here to stay. In fact, AI has been in our lives for longer than we can or want to acknowledge. I feel like it's actually exciting now that we all get to use it. It's more out there for us. Before, it used to be more gated, and now it's available to all of us. So I actually think that is an exciting time, with caution, of course. But I think that's where I'm saying that the ethics that I bring into my work is the ethics in which I'm using AI for. For example, this part of, I am never going to claim that an image that is created by AI was done by my camera and me. You know what I'm saying? I'm never going to claim that, I don't know, let's say that you do that, like you can publish a book with AI. I would never, if I were to do that, which I'm not, but I'm saying if I were to do that, I would never claim, oh, this is all from my brain without da 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 da. I feel like it's up to you, of course, how you decide to do that. But that is the position that I'm taking when I'm doing the kind of work. So for example, similarly to the brand strategy and the magnetic core, my gifts is being able to translate my client's brand strategy into imagery. That is where I shine. That is what they're seeking my help with, because they are brilliant at what they do, but they are rubbish at the visual aspect, the translation of their brand. That is where I come in, because that's where my creativity and my years of experience come in to play, to translate that into the visual representation of their brand, so that they can share their genius with scroll stopping imagery, because that's essentially what we want, right? So yeah, I don't think that as of today, and I don't think I would want to leave it all up to it, because that's where the fun for me is.
The fun is where?
The having a tool that helps me share my gifts.
Okay.
Because before, creating any of the images that I've created so far would cost so much, both in terms of investment, but also in time. So being able to have a tool that has you in a flying saucer, spaceship, whatever, wearing a, I don't know, 16th century dress, imagine just like the cost of something, that production, what would it be? So having a tool that helps me do that is the fun part. So I feel is my companion, my partner, my co-pilot, and I would never give it up to
completely
have the AI do it on its own without my input.
Yeah, you wouldn't say, for example, here are my magnetic core principles, here's what I want, here's my ideal client, create me a set of images.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're more an active part of that decision and design making. And then the actual creation of that is the place where you're allowing AI to do its magic.
Yeah. Yeah. Even, and this is something that I've have come to accept and embody about myself, is that I tend to go against the grain, and I'm also doing it right now with AI imagery, because one of the things that AI imagery created was this ability to create fantasy world. If you think of gaming and that kind of look, I'm going completely the opposite direction, not because I cannot, but that is exactly where I feel that my skill comes in, is in removing my clients from that pool of, it's almost like the ethereal, spiritual, everything is a spacey and look and feel of the images. I'm like, no, I want to create as realistic images as possible for my clients. If their brand calls for that kind of imagery, fine. I still will tune it to something more different than what you see out there. But my point is saying that even in that arena, I'm actually removing myself from the masses because I see the potential for other things. So that in and of itself is something that the AI as of yet cannot do, as you said. Like you can just feed a brand strategy and say, oh, give me images. No, it's not gonna, it's not there yet.
Okay. But that it could be in the future.
Certainly it could. Yeah, I'm not gonna say no. Like I said, the things that we didn't know could happen last year are already happening, like video, the explosion of video in the last couple of weeks is just so. Yeah, of course it could happen. But again, I question and wonder. Then I think, and going back to the copywriter, I still think there is the value of saying, in my case, of my input, because as I said, my clients are genius at what they do, but they cannot transfer that into a visual representation of what they have in their minds. They give me an abstract idea and I translate that into something tangible, and they're like, wow, I would have never thought of that. So, yeah.
Super cool. So you mentioned that your work-life balance is at a four today, and that you're working 25 hours a week, and that you're more intentional because you want to spend time with your kid, and yet you're doing all this very passionate work and it's taking up the space. Did you specifically design your life in this way, or did you just stumble upon it? Like, how did you get to where you are today in terms of balance?
I say looking back, there was intentionality in it, but I think I didn't realize it at the time. I think since having my daughter, there's definitely been more awareness of how I've planned my balance, I think. And there was a time in the pandemic, it was in 2021, I think. Her and I went to Valencia for 6 months because my partner was away for extended travel. And I didn't want to stay in the Netherlands with a small child, with the weather. It really affects me a lot, the darkness and it was in the wintertime. So long story short, we ended up, moving to Valencia for 6 months. And I thought she was in daycare full days for 5 days. So I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna, th this was like basically after maternity leave and all of that. So I was like, I'm gonna have so much time for my business. Imagine 5 days with care. They were amazing with her. She loved it. So I was like, perfect. And I was in a Spanish-speaking country. I was like, oh, incredible. And it probably took 2 or 3 weeks to realize that I was just on the verge of burning out. I was exhausted. Yes. As a new mom, of course, all the things that happened, but I also think the pandemic was really taking a toll. We had a dramatic start to her life. All the things combined, just really left me with, like, I realized that I had just been pushing through without really stopping to think, okay, how has all of this affected me? Or even having an outlet to just be like, so. Essentially, what I did for those 6 months was just rest and honestly do nothing in the sense of course, I did stuff, but not ask anything of myself. And I would tell you, and of course, not all of us have that chance because we can't necessarily, but at the same time, I think that was the thing that really catapulted me into where I am today. Because had I pushed through, I think it would have been a much more actual like physical burnout, and I think I was on the verge of that. I would call it a more energetically burnout. Like I was just exhausted physically, but it didn't go as far as like a clinical burnout, like with physical symptoms and all of that. slowly I started picking up my work, but it was more gentle. I was more gentle with myself. So instead of saying, oh, because I have those 5 days, I must work 40 hours or 50 hours or 60 hours a week, I just took it more gently. And in that time, of course, so much more clarity came to me, so much more. That's when I started developing the foundations of my framework, the magnetic core and all of that. So because I opened up the space for other things to come, again, looking at that was like the more intentional aspect of it, but it was basically out of necessity that it all happened. So now I am definitely more careful and more aware and in tune about, okay, this is happening. So that's why I'm, what's the word? Yeah, careful and intentional about preserving that time and not working. Because I could, like in the evenings, I could work more, but I'm like, why? Let's, as I said, let's create jewelry. It's more relaxing. And again, ironically, I take those moments as inspiration moments, because things come out when you stop using your brain, can think and can give you clarity and intuition also. That's very important to me, is listening, having the quietness to listen to my intuition, because that's a stronger voice than what your brain wants to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without physical symptoms, how did you know that you were not okay? How did you know that you were exhausted?
I was feeling like I was in the perfect situation. As I said, like I was in sunny Valencia. It's a beautiful city, big enough to have lots of stuff to do, but small enough to feel safe with my daughter and the two of us alone. I ate wonderful, delicious food. It was always sunny and all of that. And yet I just didn't feel like myself. And being a new mom at the time, also, I was questioning all of the things. Am I doing it? Am I doing this right? What do I want to transfer to my daughter? How do I want her to see me? All those kind of questions. And I realized that I was like, there's just something off. I couldn't put my finger on it. And as I said, it almost happened accidentally. But when I realized, I was like, this is not me. I would consider myself an ambivert. So I love being around people, but I definitely need my solo time to recharge. And because the pandemic happened, we were forced to be isolated. And I always go against the grain. So I was like, now I want people. Now I want to be around people. And I couldn't. And all the signs were just like, I felt not myself. And I felt, I don't know if lethargic was the right word, but I just felt like almost numb. I think that's a better word. Like just numb to life. And that is definitely not me. Like I have a zest for life. I am more bubbly. I'm more happy. I'm more like, yeah. And I realized, I was like, yeah, there's just nothing. There's something here that is just not. And like the physical exhaustion. But for the longest time, I kept chalking it to, oh, I'm a new mom. I'm not sleeping, blah, 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 blah. But I was like, there's something more. There's something more. And yeah, when I rested and when I started enjoying things because I had the pause, I started feeling like myself again. A sunny day made me happy, whereas before I was like, yeah, okay, sun, fine. Like just little things that just compounded again to make me feel like myself again, the same way as they had left me to feel that I was not myself.
Was there anything specifically that you did that caused that shift to happen? So you said that I took rest. What does that mean? Because that's a very nebulous word that can mean a lot of things.
When you are working for yourself, there's that feeling that you always have to be doing something, because otherwise you're just not producing. I think that comes from, for me at least, it comes back from the corporate days when the way that my company worked, we had to always be working on new business, new proposals. And that work almost came after our daily work. And I remember, just as one example, I remember once I was in a period where, so our teams were three. There was a director, a manager, and an assistant, project assistant. And at the time, I was the project manager and I think it was No, I think it were more than three projects, which is a heavy load. And I was training a new director and I was training a new assistant. So essentially, I was doing the work of probably nine people. On top of that, I was expected to do the new business stuff. And I remember working at all hours during the week. I came in that particular time. I came in on a Saturday and the Sunday. I came on a Monday to have a staff, a group meeting, a team meeting. And of course, I didn't manage to do it all. And I remember her saying, or maybe I didn't come on the Sunday, but anyways, I came in the weekend and I remember her saying, oh, if that means that you just have to come on Sundays, then you have to come on Sundays, or something to that effect. And I remember that in that moment, I was like, yeah, of course. But looking back, that phrase plus some behavior that happened afterwards was the trigger that said to me, this is not a way. And I was young then, like it was a different time, but I was like, probably would still be doing the same thing now. And all this to say that I think that I, something, the, again, my intuition, my inner voice told me, like, you're behaving the same way that you behaved back then when basically you're running your own business. So why? Relax, take a pause. And I think I also remember thinking in Valencia, thinking, okay, this is luxury right now to have a 5 day, full day care for my child. But what's going to happen when I go back to the Netherlands? At the time, I don't think we had, maybe we had daycare and not the preschool, whatever. I remember considering my hours and I was like, I need to start planning for when we leave. This is not going to be forever, as much as I would have loved to. So that triggered something in me being like, I need to be more efficient. I need to also for my own sanity. Like it was just not sustainable to continue doing that, working at all hours. And again, not being as productive, like what I told you earlier. And I don't really, I truly don't think that this has much to do with AI in the sense of it's just how you simplify your business, simplify your messaging, simplify your offers to a point where you're doing what you love, you're doing efficiently, you're doing it in a way that actually brings home the bacon. You don't have to have all those complications that we, at the beginning of our entrepreneur journey, we are made to believe that you have to have the funnels, the emails, the 10,000 courses, the blah, 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 because otherwise you are not good enough or worthy enough or blah, 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 however you want to put it. So yeah, that was, I would say that was the beginning of my most simplify version of my business where I basically I didn't remove necessarily anything. I just streamlined everything into a process that is yeah, it's more streamlined both for me and but also for my clients. I used to have more like smaller offers. Now is the brand strategy if you want to start there or now the ambition. And as I said at the beginning, it's just something that I feel like it makes me happy. It makes me excited to wake up and to know, oh, I have a call with someone. Oh, I get to sit down. This is, I will write a caveat, tell you a caveat in a second. But yeah, just to know that today is the day that I get to create the images and whatnot. Something that I learned, this is the caveat, something that I learned about myself and in this process that we've just been talking about is to manage your energy. For example, working on a brand strategy with my client or doing the kickoff strategy meeting requires a different type of energy and brain from me than the one that is required to create images, to be creative, to all of that. So what I did with my business now is that ambition is always open. People can enroll whenever they want. But I structure it in such a way that the first 2 weeks of the month, I take the brand strategy and the kickoff meetings, and I close it, quote unquote, for the last 2 weeks of the month. And that's when I create the images because of what I said earlier. And that has also meant that I, the last 2 weeks of the month are quieter, I'm more relaxed, I have more time for myself. And the first 2 weeks are more, I get to be with people more. That so it also balances out my ambivert tendencies that I know that are important for me. And that really helps a lot with energy management.
Amazing. And do you find that even though you've simplified and streamlined, that you find that you're still succeeding, quote unquote, in, yeah, in air quotes, succeeding in your business in a way that you were when you had all the other elements? Have you found a shift in success?
Yes, because success to me is not only the numbers, like how much we are bombarded with the, I reached the 10,000 figures. I don't think that's not the only reason I started my business. Yes, of course, I want financial stability, but that's not the only thing that I look for. And I tell you today, I feel most successful that I've been so far because
Amazing.
I feel like I have a business that supports my energy. I have a business that supports my desires on how I want to manage motherhood. It's different for everybody. So this
Yeah.
is not to say this is how you it should be. That's the whole point of having a business for myself. Yeah, everything. It's like how I manage my time with maintaining relationships. With family, with friends, with all the things. So to me, success is a very encompassing word. So yeah, I would say yes. And in fact, I think that for me, the biggest thing would be that I feel the most successful in that I have been able to bring all of me into the business. Before, I used to always feel like there was that gap of I don't know how to bring my humanitarian heart, how to bring my cause loving, want to change the world part of me into my business. And now I feel like I finally have found it with how I'm, yeah, opening up access to more people to be able to share their gifts, because essentially that's what thrills me. And that is going to be my legacy, is to be able to empower others to share their gifts by making personal branding and photography accessible.
Beautiful. I think with that, we'll close the session and move to the final five questions.
Okay.
What is your definition of serenity?
Oh, serenity. Ah, that. I feel like it's being content with knowing that you have done what you can to achieve what you set out to achieve. And it's that sense of accomplishment. Again, it doesn't have to be a tangible thing, it just has to be something that you feel inside of you that. No matter what comes, you know that you can go back to that place. I feel like for me, serenity is something that I can go back to again and again. And it's not a destination, it's not a set place, it's a feeling that I can call upon. But it stems from that satisfaction of I've done all I can in any scenario in life. And I'm okay with it.
Thank you for that. If you could master one skill instantly, what would it be?
To be able to help anybody that comes in contact with me to really understand their magnetic core, their gift in a second, to really truly believe it. Because it's of course, it's a journey of a lifetime and it evolves. But if I could make, yeah, if I had a wand that I could do that, I would do it in a second.
What is your favorite method to recharge during the workday?
Walking.
Walking. How long of walks? Does it matter?
That's a good question. Normally, I go through the same circuit all the time, so it takes me an hour. but I've never tried a, not never, but in the recent past, I haven't tried a shorter one. So I wouldn't know if it would work. But yeah, at least an hour for me.
Interesting. What are you geeking out about right now?
AI.
See, that was my guess, is that what would be what it is. Maybe, can you, I'm going to sneak in another question here. Maybe can you give a small experiment if people who are starting to play with AI, they've listened to you today, where they could start like dipping their toes in a way?
I would say download ChatGPT. It's now as an app. You, and the computer is just open AI or something. Like just Google ChatGPT and start playing with it. Like literally ask it to help you make your week easier. Ask it to ask complicated questions, like really compounding questions. For example, give me a week's worth of recipes for, how old is your kid?
Four and a half.
Just say there's three people, including a 4.5-year-old who is allergic to something or picky about something. Also ask it to include only, say, I don't know, 4 ingredients, something like that. Another thing that I think this is a paid version. I cannot remember now. But another thing it could do is it can take a picture of your fridge and it gives you recipes based on what's on your fridge right now.
Insanity.
Yeah. So yeah, play around with things like that. Ask it to arrange your schedule. These are the meetings to have for the week. This is how I'm feeling right now. These are the energy trends that go through me. Like all those kinds of questions, you just go there and ask it. And yeah, just have fun.
Yeah, those are good. Those are very different prompts than I usually hear. So I appreciate those greatly. Last question. Assume you've achieved the optimal work-life blend. Describe your typical work day.
A typical work day. I would say, this is ironic. This is why I'm laughing because of the previous answer I gave. My typical work day would be just literally sitting down to produce the imagery. If I can do that alone, not because I don't like the brand strategy part, but if I could just do that, I'll just be super happy. Also because I can do it from anywhere. That's also, you know, like brand strategy, I need to sit down and have a chat with my clients, which I love, but I literally can be, not that I do it because I take really care that when I'm with my daughter, I'm with my daughter, but technically we could be in the park and I could be doing it.
Yeah.
So that would allow me also to travel anywhere. So I could be anywhere and I could do it. Da, da, da. So that would be my ideal day. And just, yeah, I actually love conversations like this, just sharing things with people. So I would have probably more of that kind of things and working less hours. So yeah, does that answer the question?
Yeah, thank you. So today we've had a fun conversation exploring what is brand strategy, what is AI, how do we determine our magnetic cores, how you started to stumble into defining that by actually being in a place of exhaustion, having that awareness, creating that space and moving through that to find how you can build a sort of a, as you said, a flowing, successful career where all the elements of you are starting to come together. So thank you for sharing your journey. Is there one thing that you want the audience to take away from our discussion today?
Never disregard all that you are, because in the thing that you think is the silliest and the most obvious, everybody can do it. That's where your secret weapon is. That's where your magnetic core is. So actually, if anybody is curious about, I would even go and just out of curiosity, dig in your human design. This is a whole other conversation, but just Google human design and find out. It's based on your birth, date, time, etc. that is a good place to start to see in black and white what your magnetic core gifts are and start having conversations with people, your friends, people who know you and love you the most. And you'll see that is what is your gift. That's what you're here to share with us. And never look back, because there is a way to make a living with that.
Intrigued or inspired by today's episode, but forgot the details? Don't worry, I've got you covered. Visit engineeringserenity.com for a complete summary of today's episode, including timestamps, links, and other resources for your adventure. Wishing you strength and serenity, Evelyn out.